Hey there, podcast listeners. It's Anne. Last week, we did a show about being female on the internet. We heard a lot of stories about women being targeted by militarized, coordinated armies of trolls. We heard about women feeling powerless to stop the harassment, about responding with legal remedies, Twitter snark, even unplugging entirely. But shouldn't there be a more constructive option? Well, here's one. Emily Temple Wood has been an avid Wikipedia editor ever since she was pretty young. And early on, she noticed that Wikipedia has a twofold gender bias problem. Women make up a minority of the active editors on the site, and they're also in the minority as subjects of articles. So Emily began recruiting more women editors to write more Wikipedia articles about notable women. Seems like a good thing to do, right? Well, in return, she got, yep, rape and death threats. Well, instead of retreating, Emily came up with an ingenious way to use the platform itself for revenge. She decided that every time she got another hate-filled, misogynistic message from a troll, she would write a new Wikipedia bio of a female scientist. Last year, Emily Temple Wood was named a Wikipedian of the Year. She currently juggles her Wikipedia editing with a full slate of coursework in medical school, but Charles Monroe Kane did manage to get hold of her between lectures.
Let me start this interview by reading something to you from your Wikipedia biography. She first started contributing to the site when she was 9, and it was when she was 12 that she was first harassed online as a result of her Wikipedia contributions. You were harassed at 12 online?
Yeah, unfortunately. You get used to it after a while.
Ooh, I don't want you to get, I don't actually really want you to get used to it. That's really not the goal, is it?
No. The goal is for there to not be any more harassment. But since it exists, you have to cope with it, and getting used to it is part of that process.
What did the first harassment say, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't remember specifically, but I'm sure it was something vulgar about, you know, me being a woman.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what trolls do, right?
Yeah, I mean, most of what I get is about how I, you know, I'm having various types of sexual relations with various people, many of whom I don't know. So that's, you know, that's where they're coming from.
I have a 12-year-old, and I know a lot of 12-year-olds because of that.
And I
can't imagine the response to being harassed, but I definitely can imagine that I wouldn't be, hey, you know what, Dad? I'm really ticked off if somebody said this about me. I'm going to go write a bio of a scientist. How in the world did you come up with that?
Well, so my response at age 12 was not as good as my response at, you know, age 20. My response at age 12 was mostly crying. Uh-huh. I wasn't as good at coping, obviously. You know 12-year-olds.
Yes.
But by age 20, you know, it had been so long and I was so sick of it that I needed to do something more than just be upset. And I've always been the kind of person to channel my feelings into my work, and this was a natural extension of that.
So basically, you're like, okay, you want to write harassment to me? Every time you write a harassment, jerk, I'm going to write a bio of some obscure, awesome female scientist.
That is exactly how it went down. Like I've said before, there's nothing that a misogynist hates more than a successful woman. And if I am able to write about successful women and be successful while fueled by their harassment, I win.
That's a triple. Isn't that a triple? Isn't that a triple points?
Yeah. It definitely
triple
is.
Points card on that one. You start this at 20, you're already, you know, pre-med. You're at college studying science.
Yep.
There must have been a lot of women around you in the dorms who are like, hell yeah, they join you, or what happened?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I actually started some workshops at my alma mater, Loyola University Chicago, and we would get together every other weekend and just eat Panera or eat pizza and write for, you know, 4 or 5, 6 hours. And it was such a fun experience. You know, we got to share the stories of these women with each other, find inspiration, share our moments of rage and frustration and our successes. And it's how I made some of my best friends. There's really a great community that builds up around that.
Oh, that's incredible. And I can imagine, I was looking through a bunch of the women that you've written about on Wikipedia. You weren't finding them on other sites online and moving it over. You're going to the library, right? I mean, some of these women are. Tell me about one of them.
Sure. So one of my favorites, her name was Tilly Edinger, And she's since popped up in a couple of other places on the internet, which makes me extraordinarily happy because more people need to know about this lady.
Okay.
She invented a field called neuropaleontology. So in the 1800s in Germany, she discovered that when you looked at fossils of skulls, you could inject like plaster or other material into them and make a cast of what the animal's brain looked like. And you could get so much information out of this. Kind of a crazy genius.
So then what do you do? So what do? You do the entry, you work with some other women, you make sure it's right, it's accurate, do a good job, get the entry in there. And then the guy that like basically talks about your breasts or says you had sex with this other dude, do you then like send him a response and say, yo, a-hole, here's Tilly's bio?
No, I usually try not to respond to them because that's usually a waste of my time. I do occasionally do. I've done that a couple of times, and it's been extraordinarily satisfying.
I bet. Wait. Tell me, because that sounds extremely satisfying.
I try not to because it's not about that. Also,
sure.
they're a waste of space, and I don't want to give them any more credence than they deserve. But being able to come back and be like, look what you did. You made the world better. No thanks to your actions. You know, that's it's beautiful.
So every time you get some troll online being a jerk, you directly keep track of that somewhere in your house or apartment and say, okay, I now owe the world a bio of a scientist on Wikipedia?
Yeah, I currently owe the world about 150 biographies.
Oh no, there's a backlog.
Well, there's a backlog because, you know, medical school.
Sure, you're busy.
I wrote one this morning, so I'm taking it down one by one.
Yeah, that's so 149.
149 to go, but I dragged another couple of people in on this, and we all keep little backlogs of like, oh, I owe the world 48 more articles before I'm caught up, you know?
I will say this is probably the most creative and empowering response I have ever heard to violence like this on the internet. Is that the response you get from most people, or some people are like, oh God, you're wasting your time?
I would say 99% of it is positive. Just like what you said, that people think it's creative and it's funny and it's empowering. I do get the occasional, you know, hate mail that says something to the effect of like, you're a stupid bitch and, you know, you are wasting your time writing about these dumb bitches who didn't do anything important. Women scientists aren't real. I literally got an email that just said women scientists aren't real.
Wow.
And I'm literally sitting in a lab that is staffed by all women except for, you know, our two token guys, run by a woman. And I'm just like, come on.
I mean, I know I want to talk about you, but I do want to take a step because you have some insight into these guys. Like, what the hell?
I think it's part of why they do this is that they're threatened. You know, they feel like I'm public property because I'm a woman existing in a public space. And there's the anonymity of the internet. You know, I'm a target because my name is known. There's pictures of me, God forbid. You know, and there's a lot of easy things for guys to pick up on. I don't read comments anymore for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But I did at first, and it was horrifying. It was all about my appearance. You know, my boobs are too big. They're too small. My hair's the wrong color. It's greasy. My face is the wrong shape. Like all this stuff. And they just feel the need to lash out. And that's the only way they know how.
Well, it'd be hard for them to critique Tilly, the paleontologist.
I feel like some of them don't even know what that is.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of insecurity and they feel the need to take others down to make themselves feel better.
But Emily, you and I know that this can be, it can be dangerous. It isn't just a hurt feeling.
I get death threats all the time. I've been getting death threats since I was 13 years old.
Jesus.
And part of me just doesn't care anymore. But you know, the first time I got a threat that was like, I'm going to murder your family and rape their dead bodies while I make you watch. I was 13. That freaked me out. I didn't know what to do. And I let it get to me. It was hard.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it would get to you because it's messed up.
It's so messed up.
But the other thing is that, you know, empowerment is a muscle. I was told that once. Empowerment is a muscle. And it sounds like you've been flexing and flexing and flexing that muscle. You're quite the empowered woman. But it always seems like it's at a price. Is this whole thing worth it? Like, is it worth it to you in the end? You're like, you know what? I'm glad these women's bios got up, and I'm glad I made friends with these other women, and I'm glad I learned this way, and this was worth it? Do you think so?
100%. Every day, you know, I I've made some of my best friends through this work all over the world. I've connected with women, I've heard their stories, and I've gotten to know these women from history in such a deep, substantial way. I've gotten to dig into their papers and their writings and the details of their stories, their struggles and their triumphs. And every day that inspires me more and more. You know, reading about the first women to go to medical school makes me really grateful for the place that I'm in right now. It makes me want to study that much harder. And it's a joy for me to share these stories with the world. You know, every time someone reads it, that makes my heart grow.
You're responding, and your response is big, but is it effective?
I think so. I get a lot less hate mail than I used to, weirdly, like as a percentage, I think. I've had a couple of people email me saying that they thought I was, you know, dumb and whatever, horrible things, but then they looked into it and they're, you know, they were sorry for harassing women on the internet, stuff like that. And
wow.
That really makes it worth it for me. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, and telling these stories is so, so important to me.
I mean, it's interesting. I'm sitting here thinking, and we're talking about one-on-one issues here of misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking to myself, sexism is something that's systemic as well. And I started thinking, you're putting bios of all these women on Wikipedia because they don't exist on Wikipedia, because there's something systemic in Wikipedia where, what, 90% of his editors are male. Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe Wikipedia needs to change how it does what it does based on some of the stuff you've learned?
Wikipedia absolutely needs to change. And part of my work there, it's not just women scientists. It's working on the issue of systemic bias, which is that whole concept as a whole. So my friend Rosie Stevenson-Goodnight runs a project called Wiki Women in Red, which is like my women scientists project, writing biographies of women and then writing about women's works, broadly construed, as she always says. And that's been extraordinarily successful. And it's those efforts also bring more women editors. And we've seen a rise in the number of women editors. And more importantly, her project since 2015, I think, has brought the percentage of women's biographies from 14 to 16% on Wikipedia.
Wow.
And we have millions of biographies.
No, you guys are half population, right? Sorry, I'm being smart aleck,
yes.
But I mean,
it does. No, you're absolutely right. 51%, yeah.
That must frustrate the living crap out of you.
It really, well, it does. And part of it isn't just Wikipedia,
of
right?
Course,
it's history as a discipline. And historiography of women scientists has been improving in the past few years, right? In the past 15 years, we've seen some really great works come out. And there's, you know, the classics in the field, and people have been building on that. But the fact remains is that a lot of women and their works are lost to history. Or they're thought to be insignificant, or because of that systemic sexism, women who had amazing talent were kept out of the fields that they wanted to participate in altogether. So we're never going to reach 50-50 biographies just because more men are included in the historical record and more men participated in those professions. You know, in the great medical school of Salerno, there was like one woman, right? And
right.
Dozens and dozens of men. But I think that for our biographies of living people, we can get closer and closer to parity. And funnily enough, last year, the Fellows of the Royal Society, which is like the big shots in science, right? They were announced. Within like a week, we'd had articles on all the women and, you know, maybe half of the men. And people were crying, you know, reverse sexism. And I was like, first of all, there's like 10 of them compared to dozens of men. But also, you know... Sorry, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, we're more organized. So I don't know what to tell you.
Tough luck, guys. When you go to the library and you go through and you find a Pakistani from early 1900s, a Pakistani virologist who's a woman who you haven't heard of, who contributed greatly to her field, and you know, when you check that book out, because it's you, you're Emily Temple Wood, and you check that book out, that is going to make it on Wikipedia, and that is the opportunity for millions of people to see that. You must look at those books differently than another med student, right?
I mean, I've always looked at books as, like, possibility. I mean, I read the encyclopedia cover to cover when I was a kid. Yeah, that was me. And I remember, you know, going, visiting my alma mater and looking at the library and being like, oh, this is going to be so many articles. I was so excited. Like, that's how I that's how I interact with books. They're all information that's locked up on paper that needs to be distributed onto the internet. Not that I have anything against books. I love them. My house is filled with them, but the internet provides a unique opportunity for knowledge to be free.
You know, before we go, could you give us another scientist, another favorite entry of yours, maybe a first one you did, or just a favorite of yours to kind of let us go with one more person?
Sure. Well, the first woman scientist I ever wrote about, her name was Anne Bishop, and she studied malaria. And she happened to be studying malaria at the time where it was a huge problem for British soldiers in World War II. And she ran a lab at Cambridge University on Girton College, which was for women. And she was so dedicated to her work. She would be there 24/7 watching over her mosquito larvae, you know, not the most glamorous work, but she discovered a new treatment for malaria. And she worked until the day she died, you know, and dedicated her life to understanding the life cycle of malaria. How cool is that?
Love it. Well, what are you going to be studying? So you're going to leave here. What are you going to be studying? What's on your med school agenda?
Respiratory physiology.
Excellent. Respiratory. I could use that, actually. I have a bit of a cold. So yeah. Respiratory physiology it is. Well, thank you very, very much. I'm sorry that this happened to you when you're so young, but it seems like you took it and ran with it. Good for you. And I like talking to you. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That was Emily Temple Wood. She's a medical student at Midwestern University in Chicago, and she was talking to us between classes from her car. Thank you, Internet. Oh, and if you're wondering, she has 148 articles left to go on her list. That's it for this podcast extra. We'll be back with a full hour soon. If you like this show, do us a favor. Share it with someone who's never listened to a podcast before. And when you do, let us know by tweeting at us with the hashtag TryPod. That's TRYPOD. And thanks for promoting podcast awareness. To the best of our knowledge, comes to you from Madison, Wisconsin, and from the studios of Wisconsin Public Radio, as well as from these folks.
PRI, Public Radio International.